This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Hi, and welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You can find us online at www.njrevolutionradio.com. Get us wherever you get your podcasts from and follow us on all the social medias. Tonight, I have someone who's, we're keeping his identity a little bit secret tonight, but he's a fellow community organizer down here in the South Jersey area. He's also a member of the Humanists, and welcome to the show, Michael X.
Great to be on, Heather. Thank you for having me on.
So I originally invited you to come on the show to talk about, you know, what it's like to organize as a humanist, because they've given a lot of space to certain, you know, religious leaders in the South Jersey area. And you're like, well, I'm having trouble organizing as a humanist here in South Jersey. And I'm like, okay, well, why don't we just talk about the frustrations of organizing in South Jersey?
Yeah, no, that's the, thank you. Yeah, it's well, I confess that I've been facing a bit of burnout and some amount of disappointment, because obviously the way things are right now, this is, if there's ever been a time for activism in my lifetime, my adult lifetime, this is it. And trying to get people interested or getting the interested people together, I think, has been a real challenge. And in a way, I'm looking for pointers.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, I've only been an organizer. You've been an organizer longer than I have. I pretty much a couple years ago just got declared an organizer, somewhat against my will, by a mutual friend of ours, Brian, who's my business partner here, told me, well, you're an organizer now.
So. Yeah, well, it's funny, because this may be the first time I've been called one, too, in some ways. And I'm probably the most disorganized organizer out there. But
but you have been trying. Like, I know you've been organizing around, trying to organize. It was a Surge chapter. You were originally, I think when I first started talking to you, when I first met you, you were trying to get that going in the South Jersey area.
Yeah, or at least something racial justice oriented. I've also been involved in the local Unitarian Universalist community. And that's, I think, a very natural fit for their philosophy. And so that got me involved in some of the post-Ferguson Black Lives Matter era. Well, it is still the Black Lives Matter era, as far as I'm concerned. But so, some of the, you know, once the Black Lives Matter started formulating and in this area, I got involved in that a little bit. And I guess you could call that organizing. But I wasn't doing, you know, I was getting involved, whether I was planning anything, that wasn't necessarily it. But yeah, I certainly wanted getting involved in the Surge is mostly at the state level. We're trying, I'm hearing there's some rumblings about getting an actual chapter in the South Jersey area. So that's heartening.
Yeah, that's good to hear that there might be some sort of thing, because I guess the main problem in trying to organize down here in the South Jersey, and especially the coastal South Jersey area, is there's really just not a lot of the same resources down here that people may have already in North Jersey. You know, I'm constantly like, well, we need to build more stuff down here. But it's good and bad in a way that you're building everything from the ground up, so you can really kind of get in there and create the organization.
Yes.
You want.
Yeah, there's a lot of room to grow here. There's not as many people, and so you can make a difference very quickly, much to my surprise. It doesn't take much to get involved. It's some of the community activists in Atlantic City are very approachable and terrific people. And if you're in North Jersey, you might think you're just a number, but here you're not. You can be hit the ground running if you want to and can.
But the downside of that is just that there's not a lot, you know, that you do have to build everything from the ground up. There's not those resources there. And I know you've had a few false starts and some frustrations organizing down here that you wanted to touch on tonight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of them may be related mostly. It'll be interesting for listeners to see if they can relate to some of my issues. May come out of working for a kind of humanist or atheist based organization. But
well, let's start in with first, what are the humanists? What is the, you know, what are humanists about?
Humanism is a philosophy that's grounded in non-belief in a deity or supernatural beings. So rather than just saying we're an atheist organization, and there are some really great atheist organizations out there and important ones fighting for the rights of atheists and the right to not believe and to fight for the separation of church and state, humanism is kind of, okay, you're an atheist, now what? What does this mean about your philosophy of life? How do you approach the world? How do you get involved? And how do you create a just world? So the American Humanist Association in the last few years has devoted itself to be more on a social justice kind of tip, which really was, I was grateful for, because a lot of atheist groups are just about atheism. And to me, humanism is more about your worldview. And so social justice to me is an integral part of my humanism.
I guess so, you might say that since humans are all that we have, it's totally up to us to be the good in the world, basically. So it requires a level of social justice and activism.
Right, right, exactly. This is our one life. This is everybody's one life. And so how do we make sure that this place that we're on is good for as many people as possible?
So I guess it was through the humanists that you started trying to do some organizing down here in this area.
Yes. Right. And I think it started out a number of years ago, maybe 10 years ago, as almost like a Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, Sam Harris fan club. You know, at the time, 9/11 was a more recent memory, and a lot of people were galvanized into atheist activism after 9/11. See, this is what religion can do. It can throw airplanes into buildings. And so there was kind of a militancy there. That side of it, you know, arguing against religion wasn't as much of an appeal to me personally and to a lot of people, where, you know, kind of being a jerk about your lack of belief seemed to be kind of a fetish. Mm-hmm. And so then became more and more important, especially again after Ferguson, and to really get out there and do good and not really push atheism as much as provide an outlet for non-believers. You know, if you're a believer, you've got to run to a church. Your church probably has really great resources to enact social justice. But humanists, unless you latch onto a secular organization, you're out of luck. And so that was kind of the vision of some of us to let the humanists be a group that kind of helped facilitate this kind of, being good without God, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful theory and a beautiful way of organizing yourself that, you know, definitely, you know, I'm not exactly an atheist, but I'm not exactly a Christian either. I'm, you know, pretty much I didn't even say I'm an agnostic. I just have my own relationship with spirituality, differing from a lot of people. But, you know, I think that's definitely a beautiful way of looking at things, of organizing, you know, the goodness of people together. So what kind of things did you try to do in the area?
Well, let's see. I mean, some of it, since we were a small group, you know, we did some things that small groups can do, like spend a Saturday at the food bank working in their warehouse, or, you know, we were a pretty big donor to the AIDS walk, which is actually coming up soon. You know, just things like that. Nothing that we could directly organize ourselves since we were so small. Just organizing clothing drives, like for the Syrian relief, for Syrian refugees, trying to get our involved with other local groups that had the infrastructure that, you know, hey, here, we're here to help out. Is there anything we can do?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's the problem, too, of in South Jersey, there's not a lot of those groups. You know, like you said, the food bank is amazing, and they do amazing work. And, you know, that's definitely worth spending your time there. But as far as actually organizing any sort of change, it's a little more limited here in South Jersey. If you're trying to actually affect material change.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, here an example for me was Sandy. Hurricane Sandy comes blazing through here. People are in trouble in the toward the ocean. And there's all these trucks coming in from Alabama and everywhere else. And it's like, I've got a shovel. Can I come in and help? Where do I go?
Right.
And if it's not my local church, where do I go? And that's so obviously we weren't going to be able to formulate a response to Sandy, a bunch, you know, handful of humanists. But, you know, having those relationships and maintaining those relationships are a way that you can get involved and then, you know, get bigger, hopefully.
So what would you like to see happen with the humanists in South Jersey? What are your goals for the organization?
Well, let me step back and say what the goals of the organization are in our charter, and
okay.
Then that might help a little bit. One is you know, obviously the first bullet we have is make the world a better place, work towards a better world for, as we were saying earlier. The other is to promote secularism and critical thinking, so separation of church and state and kind of using balancing compassion and science as much as possible in how we look at the world. The other is challenging stereotypes of atheists and non-believers, and the other is to provide mutual support. So then if, you know, what would I like the humanists to be? I'd like to see us be a voice in the area, especially with issues of racial justice and economic justice in this area. Those are two crucial problems. And I'd like to see us be a voice and beacon for other non-believers to come and get involved.
Yeah, those seem like good goals. But it's, unfortunately, you're having some difficulties in your chapter, right?
Yeah. Well, and part of it right now, it's a lot of it's my fault in the sense of being burned out. And maybe I don't want to kind of dish against my group too much in that sense, because I love the organization and I love the members in it. Part of it is, I mean, none of these things that I'm about to bring up are really problems in and of themselves. But if they become out of balance, you know, like our last bullet that I mentioned about our goals is to provide mutual support. So it's very important for us to sit amongst each other and talk about the difficulties of being a non-believer in our society. And just to, you know, I don't know if I can curse on here.
Yeah, you can absolutely curse. It's almost required to curse on my show.
All right. Well, shit. Yeah, so, you know, or if we're just having a social gathering and shooting the shit about movies, then we do that. But it becomes a problem when that's your, you know, 80% of what you do or more. Mm-hmm. That's, you're not living the humanist life, you're just sitting around chatting. And similarly, there's a tendency among atheists, and I count myself in this, that I've been like this, kind of patting yourself on the back and saying, ah, yeah, I'm a smart person. And, you know, I'm going to sit and think about how I'm a smart person and talk about what it's great to be a smart person and a rational person and all that. And they're, you know, one of the reasons why I left the church when I was a kid was there were people patting themselves on the back. Look, I'm going to heaven. I don't need to change what I'm doing. And not all churches are like this, but that was the one I grew up in. And it just resembles that way too much. If you're not looking at yourself and your own actions and your own complicity in the injustices of the world, what are you here for?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. You know,
I don't know if I answered the question there. I think I just
you may have gone to a different question, but that's okay.
Some of the issues that we've dealt with. So the kind of back padding. Mm-hmm. Again, I mentioned the hero worship that it's tempting to sit around and watch videos of famous atheists in debates and stuff like that, which can be really rah-rah, but it, again, shouldn't be your only
Right. I'm sure it can be very cathartic that, you know, you're like, yeah, this is, you know, I'm with this person.
That's right. Yeah. Evolution rules, man.
You know, I'm sure, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, like watching him debate, what is Kevin Ham? Is that his name? The
Ken Ham, the
creationist guy. Awesome.
Oh. I watched all of that.
So I'm sure that's very cathartic. Have you had any of the issues in your local that I know, especially, I don't know so much in the humanist community, but in the atheist community, there can almost be a bit of a misogynistic attitude sometimes.
Well, look, and this is really, it's, I'm glad you said that, because this has been a very serious problem in the atheist movement, and has been, I think, part of the reason for my own demoralization, because people I know have turned out to be abusers, and people I thought were wonderful and heroes, and it's been terrible. I mean, I've been involved in some atheist organizations. Like, there's a group called Secular Woman that I admire deeply and have good relationships with the people who run that organization, and have been, I think I would have left the atheist movement if it hadn't been for some of the feminists, the trans activists, and others in the atheist movement, racial justice people. There's been small sub communities within atheism that have been trying to fight this kind of neo-libertarian right-wing aspect that's, you know, I didn't really realize was there until, you know, the last few years.
Yeah. Do you think, I don't know why that is, like, but I would say that the libertarian and atheism has, in my experiences with people, gone a little bit hand in hand. Is it just that, you know, questioning mentality, you think, of we question everything? And
yeah, I think there's especially the kind of white guy atheism. And there was a meme I just saw about this that was hysterical, but I can't recite it. But the idea that I'm a thinky smart person, and I'm thought myself out of these problems, and it, again, it's the back padding and self-congratulation, and so I'm going to eliminate all sentimentality, and boy, these feminists sure are sentimental, and these, you know, every so if I'm a white man and I see somebody complaining about something that doesn't affect me, it's easy for me to say, well, you know, as a rational person, I'm not emotionally charged by this, so you must be wrong somehow, that to be so emotionally charged. You know,
interesting. Okay.
Right. You know, so I've seen atheists get very, very upset about somebody at Wawa telling them to have a blessed day, and then say, well, feminists are all talking about microaggressions. Well, that's a microaggression that you're complaining about. You know, why can't you see that these things are related?
Right.
It's frustrating. Yeah. So
we need to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Michael X here on Wine, Women, and Revolution.
Get ready for the next event from New Jersey Revolution Radio.
Hi, I'm Becky from the Coffee House in Edison, New Jersey, and we're looking forward to seeing you at the Community Cannabis Forum on May 29th with New Jersey Revolution Radio.
With host Henry Hank Green.
What I would like to do is make sure that people get a full and educational and understanding of what this legislation is about and how it will affect their lives.
And the New Jersey weed man, Ed Fortune.
The governor ran on that. That's what he ran on. He kept talking about equity and legalization. We're going to have diversity. We're going to help the communities that were victimized by the war on drugs, blah, 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 blah.
For more information on this event, or for activism going on all over New Jersey, join us on the web at www.njrevolutionradio.com.
Hi, this is Christian Perez, the host of Modernity and Absurdity, and you're listening to Wine, Women, and Revolution.
But, you know, I don't specifically think that's anything worse in the South Jersey area. I think that's a national, you know. I mean, we've got our own brand of interesting people down here, but I wouldn't say that's specifically reflective of the South Jersey area any more so than anywhere else.
True. You mean the have a blessed day thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I grew up in the South, so yeah, I've seen far worse.
Oh, where did you grow up?
Well, Northern Virginia, so it wasn't quite rural. But I went to college in central, you know, rural part of Virginia.
So I think definitely in this area, especially, you know, the more shore, like, you know, I think maybe not with the Camden area, but there's not a lot of voices standing up for racial justice in the area. And I think that is sorely lacking down here. You know, like now there's the Black Panther movement up in Newark, and I'm just like, oh, I wish they would start something down here so much. Yeah. And it can get to be so very frustrating when you're trying to build everything from scratch in the area. How have you avoided total burnout? How are you still staying in the game, as it were?
It helps to have meetings that are automatically set up. So I got to go to them if, you know, got to prepare for them, that it kind of makes sure I carry the football as much as possible. I mean, when the group is really humming, it's usually when there's people, dedicated people on our board, who are equally interested and willing to you know, carry the football themselves. Like, if I keep using this football analogy, I apologize. I'm not a big football fan.
Yeah, the sports ball you're carrying, right?
The sports ball I'm carrying. Yeah, and I think, and I should say, you know, some of these issues I think are self-inflicted in my part. I suspect that if I did things, people didn't feel free to try it themselves. And I think other people can probably recognize that if it's a lonely area and there's not much going on, and you're trying to drum up, you're managing the meetings and publicizing them and all that, you just do it. And somebody else who might want to give it a try might feel that unwelcome to do so. And so I think one of the things I need to do is open things up to others more.
You are absolutely preaching to the choir here. And I know that's a funny phrase to use with the humanist here, but that is definitely, and I think, you know, that's good to talk about the kind of mistakes that we make, because that's how you learn from them and help other people not make the same mistakes. We did a whole episode on organizer mistakes several months ago here on NJRR. And that is totally one of my things that when I was organizing for the Green Party, I did, you know, booked the meetings, I did put out the flyers, I did the publicity, I was the chair of the meetings. And then when I stepped away, it totally dissolved, because I never, you know, really had fostered enough leadership from other people. So I think that's a problem that, you know, you just think, oh, it's just easier if I do it. You know, I know what I'm doing, it'll be quicker. And it's quicker to do it than to teach someone. But that's a mistake that I think a lot of us probably make. So I am at 100%. I've been guilty of that one, too. That is not just a humanist thing.
Right. And from outside, it seems like ego. And I know I try very hard not to get my ego involved either when the group is doing well or not doing well. But from the outside, it's like, well, you know, does Michael think he's the only one who can do this? Or I can imagine that would be frustrating for others in the group. And so I try to be as empathetic as possible, and I probably could be more so if I can.
Well, you know, I think we all, no one is born knowing how to be a perfect organizer. You know, that it's a process of getting better and better and learning from your mistakes and watching other amazing organizers do amazing stuff. You know, I've been very lucky that I've gotten to watch some amazing organizers, even here in South Jersey, especially some of the women from like Black Lives Matter. I have such activist crushes on that. So I definitely think that it's always a growing process, and we can all learn and watch and help each other. And that community thing you were talking about with the humanist movement, I think is also so very lacking in society in general today. And, you know, I've got to throw this in there too, and especially in capitalist society, that we are stripped of those connections. So trying to find those connections in your activist groups and your activist family is really important too.
No, that's a good point. I mean, well, this, you know, like the issues of all the different social media and how they don't they want to be these little enclaves so they can advertise to you better. Here's a something that doesn't get talked about much. If you're an organizer, what platforms do you use? Do you use all of them? Do you pay Meetup, you know, 100 and some bucks a month so that people can see that you have a meeting? And do you organize on Facebook? And do you organize by email? Do you use MailChimp? So all these places, and they're all stovepiped in a way that they don't want you to intersect much.
Right.
You can no longer post something across Twitter and Facebook at the same time without paying somebody a fee. So then it's exhausting to announce your meetings or to organize a rally or anything. And sometimes it's just, you know, okay, well, I'm only going to put this on Facebook or only going to put this on Meetup, and I don't have the time to put it on every other platform.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I've had those same issues organizing. And I don't even know if that's just a South Jersey thing. I mean, I drive around and put up flyers in shop rights for my meetings sometimes.
Oh, wow.
You know, those community like bulletin boards in shop rights.
Yeah, good. More power to you.
When I was organizing that community cannabis forum, library, shop rights, smoke shops, head shops.
Like, oh, yeah, that's right. I posted a couple for you.
Yeah, you did at your church.
Did anybody from them show up?
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to meet everyone that was at the event, you know, because I had a lot of running around to do while I was there still. But, you know, it's possible. I think most of the people probably came from Reverend Francois' church.
Okay.
And a lot of people came from Stockton.
Oh, by the way, in case people are confused, when Heather referred to my church, it's the Unitarian Universalists. I actually have a little trouble. I mean, no, that's not the party line with you use, but I have a hard time referring to it as a church, but that is what they call it. But it is not only welcoming to humanists and atheists, it actually is like 50% atheist and humanist in those congregations a lot of the time. And in fact, the term humanism as a term of religion or lack of belief in God actually came out of the Unitarian Church as a term. A couple of Unitarian ministers back before World War II were part of the Humanist Manifesto and things like that. So yes, I do go to services on Sunday, but I'm not singing to a deity per se.
Great. Thanks for clarifying that. I think people might get very confused.
Right. It's like, what?
Yeah, I have that problem that if it's somebody I know, like I'm just talking to a person I know, you know?
Right. So,
not realizing that everyone else that's listening at home right now doesn't actually know you in person.
It happens to me all the time where, you know, we'll refer to church or something like that and people get very, very confused. So
here's a question I want to ask you that I ask a lot of people that come on my show is, do you consider yourself an optimist? Are things going to get better?
I think on balance, I am, because if I was a pessimist, I wouldn't be so angry right now. that's not too paradoxical, but yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic. I'm not optimistic that things will change quickly. But I don't know it. But then, you know, I'm stammering because when I think about racial justice, when I think about economic justice, I'm glad to see that there are more people starting to understand, or at least trying to understand, why it's taken so long. I don't know, but and maybe it's too late. I mean, you look at the environment. Maybe there's really a deadline on that. So I worry quite a bit, but I do see shifts and rumblings that make me think maybe some kind of revolution of the mind and of action and can happen soon.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you know, things look pretty dire, but, you know, and maybe I'm weird saying this to the humanist, but I believe in people. You know, I ultimately do think that people are good and beautiful. And I think, you know, I have to be optimistic that we're going to wake up and start fixing things and hopefully do it in time for some sort of human survival on the planet.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's there are very smart dedicated people in the world, and I'm hoping that they're allowed to do what they need to do eventually. But it just seems like, right. I won't get too pessimistic, but
you know. The optimist is going to get pessimistic a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, if I can use my own example, that you know, I'm in my 50s, right? And I, back in the 90s, you know, I patted myself on the back a lot because I read Malcolm X and I read James Farmer and I read, you know, all kinds of, you know, I followed the civil rights movement, the history of the civil rights movement, the history of the Black Panthers, et cetera. Went to Spike Lee movies and when they came out in the theater and all that stuff, you know, and I thought I was pretty paying a lot of attention. But what was I doing? I was just educating myself, which is great, but it's not enough. When things get bad enough, people who are paying attention and really care will start to do things. And I think that's where I'm, you know, I think I agree with you that people are essentially good. They just need to realize that thinking the right things and you know, is not enough.
Right. Do you have any last words you'd like to chime in for this before we call it a night?
I'd like to thank the Academy. Well, thank you everyone for listening to me ramble on about this. If you'd like to join the South Jersey Humanists, all you have to do is look at a quick Google search and join us and come in with ideas. And I promise I won't stop you.
You'll let people do stuff. And maybe, if you join the Humanists, you'll get to know Michael X's real identity.
That's right. Oh, it's such a secret.
Thank you so much for being here tonight. It was great talking to you. To my listeners, thank you so much for joining us again here. We appreciate you guys more than you can imagine. We are here to be the voice of the activist community. We made this network because no one was talking about all the cool activism stuff we actually managed to accomplish here in South Jersey or throughout the whole state. We just could not get coverage. So we made this network for people like us that are trying to change the world. And we would not be here without you guys. And because we take no corporate money here on NJR, we do have to keep asking that if it's at all possible, go on to our website, www.njrevolutionradio.com, click on that donate button, even if it's only $5 a month on Patreon. That really helps us out. It adds up quicker than you might know. And we would not be here if it wasn't for you guys. You keep us going. We want to be your voice, and we need you. The future is yours to create. Go out there and create it.